his heart is living for. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here, and I pray for your comfort in all those hearts that are heavy this morning with the burdens of this life. With it seems like there's so much loss, there's so many sick right now, Father, and I just pray that you would lift each and every one of those people up. Lord, I pray now that as we study your word, that you would speak to us. Lord, no one would hear my voice, but that they would hear your voice speaking to them this morning. May your will be done now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 5, and I know not everybody was here last week, but Sean gave his testimony last week, and for any of you that wasn't here, and pretty much I think the way I understood it, he was introduced to drugs and alcohol from the time he was 12 or 13 by his parents and struggled with the addictions and everything. And there's a couple of things that he said last week that really stuck with me. And one of them was while he was living here at the church, and he said it snowed and he couldn't go anywhere for 2 weeks, and how that 2 weeks was the best thing that ever happened to him, and the Lord speaking to him. And what I just began to think about was being desperate for God. And I don't know how many of us are really desperate for God anymore, and to hear his voice, to hear him in that daily relationship. And so that's kind of where the message is gonna begin. And Luke 5:17, it says, one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. I want y'all to think about that, about how desperate they must have been climbing up on the roof, peeling back the tiles and lowering him down. I don't know how tall the roofs were back then, but I was just thinking, like, that is desperation. That is where, you know, you need Jesus. You need a touch from God. You know that He is the only answer, and you're going to get there no matter what. And as I read this and I think about this and I think, how spoiled are we today? That if it's rainy and wet, do you really want to get out of the house to come to church? I'm proud of all you that came today, because how many of us would have just, oh, it's been so nice, it's a rainy morning, to just stay in bed. But you guys got up and you chose to come here. And if the, you know, you got things to do or this or that or the other, and we make all these excuses to not have an encounter with God, not just coming to church, at home, and you know you need to open up your Bibles, you know you need to do Bible studies yourself or with your children, but how many of us, well, our favorite show's on, or we got a ball game, or I'm just tired from the day, and we make excuse after excuse after excuse. These men were desperate for God, to the point that they said, when they couldn't make it through the crowd, they said, we're going to find another way. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Can I ask you, what are you desperate for today? What are you really desperate for today? If is there something in your heart that you've been crying out to God for? And if you're really that desperate for it, are you willing to seek God no matter what? Whether it's a crowd in your way, whether it's a family member in your way, whether it's a job in your way, whether whatever it is, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you saying it doesn't matter the crowd? It doesn't matter who's there. And thinking about all this, I thought about the woman with the issue of blood and how she thought, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, and that desperation. And what are we desperate for today? Is there anything in your life that you're truly desperate for today? I'm going to go back to Psalms 107. And here were some examples of people that were desperate for different reasons, maybe rebellion, maybe what they had brought upon themselves, but what was taking place in their lives. In Psalms 107, and we'll begin in verse 4, it says, "Some wandered in the desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." As I was thinking and reading this, and I thought, I've told y'all before, I get that, what's the word, hangry. When I'm hungry, I get angry. I'm ready to eat, and I'm a baby about it, and I'm ready for my dinner. When I walk in the door, usually, I'm texting Crystal. I'm off work, because I never know when I'm getting off work. I'm leaving, and I'm ready when I get home to eat, usually. And I'm a baby with it. So you think about, they're out there wandering in the desert. They have no food. They have no water. They're desperate. They're desperate. And what does it say? It says the Lord's unfailing love and His wonderful deeds. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And you think about that with your relationship with God. I'm hungry for pizza. I'm hungry for tacos. I'm hungry for burgers. I'm hungry for cake. I'm hungry for all my desserts. But am I hungry for God? Am I desperate to know Him more intimately, to hear His voice, to know that relationship with Him? You know, here at church, my watch has been broke for a month, and I try to not go real long because I know your attention spans, and I'm not being critical because my attention spans the same way. Listening to sermons throughout the day out driving and delivering, I can be hearing the best sermon and sometimes my mind will drift if it gets kind of long. And so I try not to go I can tell when I'm losing y'all. And this message today, actually, I had to put it down Friday night, and I told Crystal, I said, if I don't stop, we're going to be there all day because there's so much in this message. So I'm going to try not to go long, but what I'm trying to get across to you guys is, if we come here to just come here because it's Sunday and we're not thirsty and we're not hungry, are we going to get anything? You know, I don't go to a buffet if I'm full. Why? Because it's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. I have to be careful sometimes when we go eat. Usually I'm really hungry and I whine if we go somewhere that doesn't give enough food because I want to eat more, you know. But like last night we were going up to Fort Smith and I'd been at my dad's to watch the football game and we'd ate lunch there and I just wasn't very hungry and I told Chris, I don't want a big meal for dinner. I just wasn't hungry. It's a waste to go but how many of us we come to church and we're just really not hungry for God? We're coming. I got my check mark, but we're really not hungry and thirsty for God. Let's read on here. It says, verse 10, "Some sat in darkness and in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains." As I read this and I think of the person here this morning, the person that may watch this someday on YouTube, the person that is bound in sin, in the deepest gloom and in prison. I think of people who have addiction problems. Maybe they're addicted to drugs. Maybe they're addicted to pornography. Maybe they're in some kind of sin of adultery, or maybe it's a sin of anger, whatever it is, and you're trapped. So some sat in the darkness, in the deepest gloom, prisoner suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the Word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. And I read this and I think some of you may be desperate this morning because you have rebelled against God and you've not done what His Word has said to do. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of their darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. See, that's what's so amazing about our God is they had rebelled. They hadn't done what they were supposed to and they were bound up in their chains. But when they cried out to God, He saved them still. Verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. You think that you can't be set free this morning? God can set you free, but I believe that it's when you come to the point of desperation and you say, God, I've had enough with this sin, with this life, with whatever it is that's bounding you. Verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Here's someone else that they're rebelling in their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them from their distress. He set forth His Word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Have you ever come to the point of desperation? Have you ever come to the point of desperation that you just cried out to God and you said, I've had enough of these choices that I've made. I've had enough of this sin. Sean last week, he one of the things that he said is that when he was going to church and he was trying to do all the moral things, but what did he say? But deep down in his heart, he missed the drugs. He still missed the sins of the flesh. He still missed them. He's trying to go to church. He was trying to do all the right things. But deep down, there was still this desire to sin. There was still this desire to be immoral. John 3:19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We like our sin. We like our comfort. We like our comfortable lives. We don't want to be messed with too much. Because men love darkness. But what happened in Sean's life is so often what happens in so many lives. They continue on and they don't take care of it. And then all at once their life's falling apart. They're in ruin. And then they're desperate for God, going, God, how did I even get to this point? How did I even get to this place in my life? How did this happen? And they can look back at choices that they made choices that were brought upon them by the conditions of their life. I remember Dr. Cherry gave his testimony here. This has probably been 20 years ago. And one of the things that so stood out to me is he's a doctor. And he said he would go to work. He didn't go to the bars. He didn't go out partying. He didn't go out clubbing. But at work, he would hear the nurses all talking about partying and what they did that weekend. And said he would listen with a close, attentive ear. And he said even though he actually wasn't doing it, he wished he was. He wished he was out there partying and doing just like them. Church, where's our hearts at? Where's our desires at? Have we been desperate and said, God, I've had enough of this life. I've had enough of what's going on. Romans 7:15-25 is where we're going to read. And he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Have any of you ever been there? I have. God, why do I allow this sin back in my life? God, I thought I was delivered from this. Why do I go back and go back and go back? Verse 16, and if I do not do what I want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Where's your desire at? Where's your heart's desire at? And as I was reading this in church, the reason why I wanted to read this is because I can look back at my own life and I can think of when I was in my home and I knelt down in my bedroom and I cried out to Jesus and I said, Jesus, save me. I know I'm going to hell. It wasn't at a church. It wasn't in a service. And I cried out. From that moment on, there got to be a new desire inside of me. A desire to not sin. A desire to please my Heavenly Father. And then when I've blown it, when I've done things wrong, I'm going, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? Why did I allow that into my life? That sinful nature. For I have desired to do what is right and good, but I cannot carry it out. Verse 19, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. It's talking about our sin nature and those desires that Satan is always bringing up and the flesh desires. And verse 21, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's laws, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? See, that's where some people stop. But then verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we can get past that point of what a wretched man I am. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep failing? Because thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as I was thinking about all this in my life, in my own life, and the struggles that I've had, and Ephesians 6:16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I think about the never-ending attack of Satan on your life and on my life. He doesn't take a break. He is constantly trying to destroy you and your families and your home and your testimony and your walk with God. And as these flaming arrows are coming at us, you ever been having a great day, maybe listening to praise and worship, your devotional hit right where you needed to, and man, it was just a great day. And then in the middle of the day, this arrow comes in and it's Satan causing a stumbling block. It's Satan hitting you with something in your flesh. And these arrows are just flying at you all day long. And we allow these thoughts in our minds and we entertain these thoughts. But today, just like the man that was desperate enough to have his friends, and his friends were desperate enough to climb on a roof and pull off a roof and lower him down to Jesus, would today be the day that you would say, enough's enough in my life? What a wretched man I am in this sinful nature. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, we can have victory now. That if we would just get desperate enough and cry out to Jesus. Revelation 3:15 and 16 says, I know your deeds that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out my mouth. I thought, how many of us would that describe today? We wonder why we struggle. We wonder why this fleshly desire seems to win more than the spirit. We wonder, well, maybe because we're just not really desperate for God and hearing God's voice and walking with God because we're lukewarm. Exodus 32:26, Moses, he's standing there and he said, so he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. And today I wonder if we're really desperate for God, if he's saying, whoever's for me, come. Whoever's for me, come. Maybe it's time today to lay down those desires of the flesh. Maybe it's time today, that old sin habit that you've had since you were a teenager, since you were a child, since you, whatever it was, maybe today is the day that you lay it down and you get desperate for God and you say, I mean business. I've been walking around lukewarm for too long. I've been walking around in these bonds, in these chains. And we read in Psalms where He can break those chains. He can break those chains. And if we would just cry out and if we would just get desperate. John 6. Get there. John 6. 67. All the people are leaving. All the disciples are deserting Jesus. In verse 67, he says, you do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Church, how many of us are desperate for a promotion? So we work and we work. How many of us are desperate for a bigger house? So we work and we work. Desperate for that new car, so we work and we work. Maybe we're desperate for popularity, so we post and we post. Maybe we're desperate for our kids to be the elite of the elite, so we take them to their special one-on-one lessons, whether it's piano, music, football, baseball. So we work and we work. We're desperate for all these things that we think will bring us joy, that we think will satisfy us. But can we get to the place where the disciples say, where we would say, we have nowhere else to go but you. You're it, God. You're it, Jesus. It takes a miracle. It does. It takes Jesus coming and living in our life. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can we truly say I've been crucified with Christ and it's I no longer live, but it's Christ living in me? In Matthew 16:24, He says, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Church, I don't know where you're at with your walk with God, but can I tell you something? In even the last month, before Sean's message last week, God's been showing me in my life things had got out of balance and that He needed to be back at the top. It doesn't even happen on purpose. It's not like open rebellion. But somehow in everyday living, it's like the order of what your life should be, God number one. Somehow He might slip down and all at once a spouse or a family or a job or the church can keep creeping up. And all at once you're trying to do all these things and God's no longer really your heart's desire. We must deny ourselves today. We must choose today, God, I've had enough. I'm so desperate for You that if it means walking through the snow, driving through the rain, if it means pulling off a roof, I can't even hardly comprehend that, church. But that's how desperate they were. And would our heart, would our lives be that desperate for God today to say, enough's enough? And I'm going to end with this. Romans 6:16. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey Him as a slave, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. See, today you might be right there in the middle, you think. You're lukewarm. You're not being a slave to righteousness. You're being a slave to sin when you're right in the middle, I'm telling you, and it leads to death. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You might say, Pete, I want to be set free so bad this morning, do you? You really? We read where it says, but light has come into the world, but men love darkness. Have you had enough? Are you really ready to say, Jesus, I want my whole life surrendered to You. Those little hidden things, those little hidden unforgiveness, that little bit of bitterness, that little bit of anger, that little bit of lust, that little bit of jealousy that you just keep holding on to. Today would be the day. Would you choose to say, God, I'm desperate for You and only You, and I lay aside everything else. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for the message today, and I thank You for the work that You're doing in my life. And I pray that each and every day that I personally, Lord, would make the choice to follow You wholeheartedly, to be a slave to righteousness and obedience. Lord, when these flaming arrows come at me and this desire to do evil, this desire to be disobedient come creeping up, Father, that right away I would understand where it's coming from and that I would cry out to You and seek You all the more. Lord, may everybody in this room, Lord, may You give something new inside their heart that they've never had before, a desire to follow You. To break these chains of bondage, to Lord, where we've been thirsty and hungry for the world, may we be thirsty and hungry for You now. Lord, I pray with every heart in here this morning that's hearing this message, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that something new would happen this week in every one of us, and me included, that there would be a desire to hear Your voice, a desire to study Your Word, a desire to please You and only You. May we be desperate for You this morning. And may nothing stand in the way. Not pride, not insecurity. May nothing stand in our way. Lord, may Your will be done now in Jesus' name.
For more to say, beautiful, beautiful, oh Lord, You're beautiful to me.
So we read the story that we started off with. When He was first lowered down from the roof, what did Jesus say? He says, your sins are forgiven. It's verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, He said, friends, your sins are forgiven. You know, I've been at revivals. I remember several years back, there was a revival that I went to, and this man who was leading the revival had seen paralyzed people be restored. He'd seen miracles of God and overseas and in third world countries. And at this revival, there was people there bringing their people in wheelchairs, and one kid was all crippled up and paralyzed, and there was all these people there desperate for a touch from God to heal their physical body. When we have family members that we love very much and they're physically ill, what do? We're praying for them. We're taking them to doctors. We're taking them to revivals. We'll do whatever we know to do to try and see them better, right? We do everything we can because we're so desperate for their physical ailments. But really the greatest miracle here wasn't that his body was restored, but it was that his sins were forgiven. Because see, that was over 2,000 years ago. And even though his body was restored, he's no longer alive. But his sins being forgiven, he's no longer alive earthly, but he's alive eternally in heaven. Sometimes we get so desperate when someone gets an ailment, when someone gets a sickness, for God to touch him and God to heal him. But y'all, the greatest miracle that we can see is not in the physical, it's in the spiritual, and it's when Jesus forgives someone of their sins and they have a new life now, whether their body is restored or not. Friends, your sins are forgiven. And so, in saying all that, I could keep going. You may look beautiful on the outside this morning. You may look handsome. You may be physically fit. But are your sins forgiven? Do you know that you know that you cried out to Jesus and your sins are forgiven? Your friends and family, maybe they're healthy as they can be. Maybe they're workout machines and they run 20 miles a day and they're the epitome of what we think is healthy. But their hearts are far from God. I would tell you this morning that they need more prayer than the person who's dying of cancer this morning that knows Jesus. That they need more prayer than the person that's crippled and in a wheelchair and can't move who knows Jesus. May we all be desperate for God this morning. May we all know that our sins are forgiven. And may we all show God's love to those around us. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you all for being here.